You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You say Fred Rogers, and a generation of adults immediately think of their childhood. We'll explore the legacy 50 years later this hour. But first, the future of WPR is on our minds as we're in the midst of the winter membership drive. And we have some colleagues here in the studio who've dropped in to help us out on that end.
Thank you, Kate. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. Bill Martin's here with John Gatto. And the single largest source of funding for WPR programs is from listeners like you. This drive is your chance to support all the programs you listen to throughout the year. Now take that important step and donate at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Bill, you've just joined us here. We've had an exciting morning here. And in this last hour, we've heard from 18 new and returning members to Wisconsin Public Radio. So I want to thank each and every one of you who made your pledge this last hour. Right now, we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $5,500. To take in during this hour. This is a generous match from our 9XM Leadership Circle members, including, and I'm going to say this one slow here, Ken Termiska and Sabina Singh of Green Bay. And it means that they'll be matching every dollar that you give right now.
Man, now we're cooking with gas. Okay. And that's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So double your support for the programs you love and give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might think that Wisconsin Public Radio operates largely with tax dollars. Well, you know, we do get some funding from the federal government and from the state, and we are most appreciative of that. But it is listener contributions that make up the single largest source of the income to keep this radio station going.
That's right. Your support is vital to keeping Wisconsin Public Radio on the air. And now that you know how important listener support is, make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And when you support the programs that you love right now, you can pick up a great new WPR t-shirt. It's a two-tone orange design, a dark gray shirt with that shows Wisconsin at the heart of everything that we do. Ask for it with your gift of $10 a month or more, or a one-time gift of $120. When you make your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Picture yourself cruising down the aisles of your favorite grocery store with $500 extra dollars to spend. That could be you. You'll have five chances to win a gift card to a grocery store near you. So what would you buy with an extra $500?
I would buy buckets of olives, green, Kalamata, those two.
I need a lot of gluten-free items. I would love that. That would fatten me up in no time.
I would probably end up buying beer and candy, but my wife would make me buy meat and vegetables.
Sustainers, you're automatically entered. Find all the rules and details at WPR.org/drawing. Donate any amount right now to be entered. Here's how.
You go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Bill Martin's here with John Gatto, and we are raising the money that keeps Wisconsin Public Radio and the programs you enjoy on the air. Whether your pledge is $10 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and count on your gift.
Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do. With just a few minutes of your time, that's all we're asking you to invest as far as your time goes, and then think about the return on that investment with hours and hours of programming that you can tune into from now until eternity. All we need is your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to fulfill that pledge.
It's very simple. Your gift supports the stories and programs that keep you connected to the world. Just give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
$1 at a time. It's a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now, up to $5,500. We're going to count it down as the hour goes on, but we surely need your pledge to help us take full advantage of the match that's going on right now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR will go twice as far with this match.
Let's not leave $1 on the table. We want to make sure we use all of that $5,500. And as an added bonus for supporting the programs you love, your pledge of any amount automatically gets you, well, it gets you entered in a drawing for a $500 grocery gift card. How great would that be? In fact, you'll have five chances to win. But you got to pledge first, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And sustainers, you are automatically entered.
And you can give support for the programs that you value. And at the same time, be sporting that brand new T-shirt. Ask for it, the WPR T-shirt, when you give $10 a month or more with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We're looking for your pledge right now, folks. We've got this terrific dollar-for-dollar match underway, and the only way that we're going to earn it is if you help us take advantage of it. So make that pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you are not a sustainer, become one right now. It's really easy to set up convenient, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. Again, just go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and get that pledge doubled.
Exactly. It's a great way, great value, great way to, and where else can you invest a dollar and have it doubled immediately when you make that gift? Laura from Madison says, NPR and WPR provide balanced news where I can decide for myself how to react. And I think this last hour's conversation is a good example of that. We heard many perspectives on, well, the glass half full, the glass maybe not so full when we think about circumstances in the world. But the idea was that we were able to present a conversation that allowed you to think about the various perspectives on that question, and then you come to your own conclusion. So, Laura, thank you for that comment, and maybe that's what you think about as you listen to the programs that we have and the conversations that we carry on here. If that's something that you can relate to, that resonates with you, maybe that's the reason that you make that pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift is powerful. It really makes a difference. And please make it now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine?
Throughout the run of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, even that theme song just brings us back, doesn't it? Fred Rogers, he made a point of speaking directly and honestly to his young viewers. We're exploring what his insights mean 50 years after the show first appeared nationally on public television. David Bianculli is a guest host and TV critic on NPR's Fresh Air with Terry Gross, which airs weeknights at 7 o'clock on the Ideas Network. He's also an associate professor of TV and film at Rowan University in New Jersey. He's the founder and editor of the online magazine TVWorthWatching.com. David Bianculli, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Well, let's start out with what comes to mind for you when you think of Fred Rogers?
Well, two things. The legacy that he left in terms of all of public television, and then the stuff that he did specifically for children. Anybody who watched Fred Rogers, especially as a child, knows the child part of it, where he just speaks directly to children very slowly, spends a lot of time calming fears and talking about things that might get them interested and excited about the arts and science and anything else. And then the rest of it is that the year after his public television program began, it began in 68, and in 69 he actually went before the Senate and argued so emotionally and successfully for the need for public TV that he basically single-handedly got its funding.
Yeah, in 1969, he testified before Congress to seek $20 million in federal funding For about 7 minutes, he made his case, in front of the Senate. And the senator, it was John Pastore of Rhode Island, who described the show. He described the show. He recited the lyrics to the song he played at the start of the segment. And let's take a listen to that interplay in the Senate.
Know that there's something deep inside that helps us become what we can. For a girl can be someday a lady, and a boy can be someday a man.
I think it's wonderful. I think it's wonderful. Looks like you just earned the $20 million.
What stands out to you about that exchange?
Oh, a couple of things. One thing, that was a time when politicians actually listened and could have their minds changed. And it's also the idea that Pastore had gone into that committee hearing not having seen a children's program that was on for a full year. So he hadn't done his homework. He didn't know about Fred Rogers' Neighborhood. But just being confronted by the essence of it and by the essence of the man was enough to show him how valid it was. And so Fred Rogers proved his own case simply by being available to a senator and saying, sort of, imagine if this sort of programming is available to every child in the country. And so it's just an amazing exchange for me, because you actually hear a mind being changed and admitting it.
Well, let's hear for a moment, look at this spectrum. It made its national public television debut in the U.S. on February 19th, 1968, ended production August 31st, 2001. It's a span of 33 and a half years and change. Why this show's long run, and what was its success? What kept it on?
Well, there's a new generation of children about every 6 years. Mm. And that's why Disney, from Disneyland in the 50s until the Disney Channel today, certainly knows that, and why the classic Disney movies are rolled out every 6, 8, 10 years. Because there is a completely new audience. But what you get, if you're lucky enough to last a generation, is that if you were a child and saw Fred Rogers as a kid, you quickly outgrow him and move on to other things. But then when you have children, you go right back to that treasure. And so it happens that children's of children's, and in my case, my grandchildren are watching Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, which is the animated equivalent. And teaching the same lessons and based on the same lessons. So it's like that's three generations of TV, and there have only been three generations of TV.
And indeed, my kids watching Daniel Tiger today, and I'm encouraging them to watch Daniel Tiger, knowing that the production company behind that was built on Fred Rogers and the themes that he presented in my childhood. Is there something for that in the production? Because they're also doing some spin-offs of other shows on PBS today. And so how does that play into it?
Well, the faith that you talk about as a mom is exactly it. I remember being a young dad, and I was a TV critic at the time. And mm-hmm. So I wasn't going to just let my kids watch anything on TV during their earliest formative years. And Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood was one of the only shows I let them watch comfortably. And my daughter, when she became a parent, Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood was one of the same shows that she would choose that way for her daughter. So the faith that you have in Fred Rogers, in handing him over to your own children, that's the best review anybody in television could ever hope for if they're dealing with children's TV.
In your tribute of sorts to Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood that you did for Fresh Air this week, you wrote about the storyline that played out in the neighborhood of make-believe involving an irritated King Friday the 13th. Can you explain it? What was that about?
Yeah, well, the basic concept was about change. That was the themes week. And so furniture was being moved around, and new stuff's being placed in Fred Rogers' own space, but then in the neighborhood of make-believe, things were being moved, people were being moved, even a replica of the Eiffel Tower was being moved, and King Friday, who ruled that neighborhood of make-believe, didn't like the idea of change, and so he ordered that a wall be built to keep out all these people that were demanding change or that represented change, and eventually messages of peace were sent over the wall by balloons to let people know that everything was okay, and it was calm. This was also during the time of the Vietnam War, so that was another allegory, but it is sort of amazing that when we're talking about border walls in 2018, that Fred Rogers still has something germane to teach 50 years later just by accident.
Well, there was, Fred Rogers was coming out of a war time, and he also, you know, had that behind him, you know, that to try to communicate to kids as well. How did the politics of the day weave into what he was trying to tell kids about some basic things in life?
Well, he was so basic. He would talk about how you could take a bath and not worry about going down the drain when the plug was pulled. You know, so to very, very little kids, he would calm those fears. But one of my favorite Fred Rogers moments was a night that he went on primetime during his first year on the air to talk about parents with their children also watching. This is the day after Bobby Kennedy was assassinated in the summer of 1968. And he realized that even if young kids didn't know what was happening politically, they still could feel the tension and the sadness of the adults and older people around them. And so he did a little thing in make-believe where one of the characters, Daniel Tiger, the hand puppet then, actually asked, this is a literal quote, "What does assassination mean?" And where else are you going to get that on a children's program?
We're hearing about the way Mr. Rogers, Fred Rogers, impacted our worldview as a child, how he impacts it today. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What stood out to you when you watched Mr. Rogers? Did you watch Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood as a kid? What do you remember most about the show? How did it make you feel? What lessons carry over today? 800-642-1234. David Ben Cooley stays with us. He's guest host and TV critic on NPR's Fresh Air with Terry Gross. And you can join in as well at 800-642-1234. But first, let's get up to speed on our winter membership drive. It is listener-supported members who hold a true place in our hearts. And we have a couple people here in the studio to tell about it.
And indeed, we'd like to say that we're working on a special match this hour. We've got all kinds of things going on to tell you about. I'm John Gatta with Bill Martins. It is Wisconsin Public Radio's winter membership drive. You count on the Ideas Network. You count on this program for interesting conversations like the one that we're having this hour. It's appealing to my heart, and it's really a great program, and it's a perfect example of why we're asking you to help support the discussions that are on the air.
And listener support is the single largest piece of the funding that makes this show and all the others that you enjoy on WPR possible. And that's why your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
I mentioned that we have a special match. We do indeed. A dollar-for-dollar match is in effect right now from 9XM Leadership Circle members, including Ken Sturmiska and Sabina Singh of Green Bay. Your gift right now of $20 becomes $40, $50 turns into $100, and so on. You can do the math and see not only how important it is for supporting Wisconsin Public Radio, but how you can immediately increase the value of your gift with this special match. Double it right now at WPR.org or 888 888- 202-2552.
When you listen to the talk shows on the Ideas Network, you participate in a statewide conversation. You hear from the experts, and you also learn from the interesting and diverse experiences of your neighbors all over the state.
You know, you go out into the world a more well-rounded person every day, more informed, full of things to think and talk about. Because you value being well-informed and support and supporting the conversations that keep you connected, you understand that connection, and we're hoping that you'll make a gift to support it now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, our world gets more complex day by day, and you rely on Wisconsin Public Radio to turn complicated issues and the news of the day into understandable language, so you know how they're going to affect you.
And for you to get programs that are relevant to your life, we rely on your financial support. It is, as we've said, the single largest source of our funding. That's why we're asking that if you've never given before, make your first ever contribution now. Perhaps it's $10 a month. That's $120 a year during this winter membership drive at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our February membership drive t-shirt has become a tradition. If you've been getting one every year, you won't want to miss this year's. And if you haven't gotten one before, start your collection now. What does this year's t-shirt look like?
That really displays the fact that we're Wisconsin and we love it. And we love Wisconsin Public Radio.
Well, it's the shape of Wisconsin, and the outline of the state radiates outward into a heart to reflect our collective love for where we live.
Oh, it's a heart. It's a heart with the state of Wisconsin at the very center of it.
Ask for your WPR t-shirt now. Give $10 a month or make a one-time gift of $120. Here's how.
Make your pledge at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. John Gatto here with Bill Martins, asking for your support, listener support, the single biggest source of funding for WPR's programming, the programming that you rely on. That's why your support during this winter membership drive is really critical right now. Maybe your gift is $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose. It's the right amount.
A $10 a month contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio works out to just 33 cents a day. Think about that, 33. That's a great value.
It really is. And, you know, making a gift of $10 a month right now is a really easy, simple thing to do at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And, you know, you get a lot in return. The programming and T-shirts and all kinds of other stuff.
All kinds of stuff, absolutely. And we've got that dollar-for-dollar match in effect this hour, and we've got a ways to go before we max that out. So if you want to have your pledge doubled, and who wouldn't want to do that, give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And in addition to funding the programs, your pledge of any amount right now gets you entered in a drawing for a $500 grocery gift card. Sustainers, you're automatically entered. Thank you. If you're not yet a sustainer, pledge now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month or whatever amount you choose. Again, just go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your pledge right now, vitally important. Make it, if you can, please, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much.
What do you do with the mad that you feel when you feel so mad you could bite?
Yes, Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Look for the helpers. It's the Fred Rogers quote that people have recalled, especially recently on social media. We're understanding how Mr. Rogers and his philosophy toward life holds true 50 years after his show first aired to national audiences on public television. David Ben Cooley is a guest host and TV critic on NPR's Fresh Air, and he's also a professor of TV and film at Rowan University in New Jersey. He founded TVWorthWatching.com. David, one of the memes going around after the Manchester, England suicide bombing that killed 22 people and injured hundreds of people, one of the memes was a Fred Rogers quote in which he shared advice he got from his mom on how to cope with scary news events. Let's take a listen.
Always look for the people who are helping, she'd tell us.
you'll always find somebody who's trying to help. So even today, when I read the newspaper and see the news on television, I look for the people who are trying to help.
And we still go back to the look for the helpers. It just pops up in so many aspects of life. What do you make of that?
Well, it's timeless, and sometimes by being general, he was so specific. And all you have to do is think about last week's shooting in Florida, or go back to the last natural disaster where you had people plucked out of the water, out of the skies, and in even the Vegas shooting, you always, if you're looking in one direction, you're looking at how horrible it is that this is happening, how as a society we've gotten to that point or allowed this to happen again or not thought about how to prevent this, whether it's natural or man-made. And on the other hand, if you look at the people who are there to bring people to safety, to do whatever they can as human beings selflessly to help, that's what Fred was saying. Pay attention to that. And it does, by looking at the same image, give you a completely different feeling and moral message.
Let's go to the phones now. Barbara is waiting in Madison. Hi, Barbara. Go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I was fortunate enough to have seen Mr. Rogers years ago when I was a student anesthetist. It was well known that he went to Children's Hospital several times a week to visit the children. He did not want to interact with the adults. He did not want any publicity. And I saw him accompany a girl who had been a patient for several months down to the operating room. He focused entirely on that child. He was just amazing.
Barbara,
it was an honor just to watch him.
Barbara, was his demeanor very much the same as the demeanor you saw on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He gave so much comfort to that child because her parents could not be there. They were from out west, and she was in Pittsburgh and had been for months. And I was told that he saw her several times a week for months.
Well, Barbara, thank you so much for that memory. And David Banculli, what is your reaction to that and, of course, the Pittsburgh roots?
Well, it's wonderful. And I have Pittsburgh roots, too. I was born there. But the idea that, you know, I have seen, you know, anybody who's seen him in person and interact with young children is that they open up to him immediately, whether or not they had seen him on television. There is something about him either on the TV screen or in person where he just radiates honesty. And when he focuses on you, whether it's through the TV lens or in person, you realize nothing else matters at that point, and it's reciprocal. It's an amazing gift that he had in that way.
Did you see how that gift could, you know, of course it carries on today. We're also seeing that there's movies being made about him, documentaries out there, Tom Hanks being cast in his role. What do you make of these new iterations, these new branches going on in the movie world on Fred Rogers?
Well, I'm glad, you know, that PBS, that a film documentary, that a film about a small part of his life are all being made, just because time passes on. And to have a legacy where you remember the people who did the great TV work of the past is dependent upon iterations for a new generation. And we used to have syndication, and people used to all watch the same three or four TV networks, and everything was there. We are so splintered as a viewing nation now that Fred Rogers is in danger, like everybody else is, of being forgotten unless we remind them in places and ways that they're still watching and still can be reached.
Do you think that there's an appetite for that? Is there a market, if you will, for those types of movies?
It's funny. It's like an appetite for a restaurant that, unless you've gone into a different kind of ethnic restaurant, you may not know you have an appetite for that until you taste it. But once you watch Fred Rogers, with a young person, you understand the value of it instantly. So whether there's a clamor for someone like Fred Rogers now, I don't know, but there's a need.
Well, it seems also like there perhaps might be some capitalizing on what he brought to the screen and his influences. He'll be featured in an upcoming postage stamp. So the U.S. Postal Service is getting in on this. Is this a start of something that's going to get bigger out there?
Well, I don't know. It's very funny because Fred Rogers, when he had the neighborhood, was adamantly opposed to merchandising. He didn't want kids to feel, you know, that they had to buy in, literally, to Fred Rogers. And so this is something that changes with the culture. And, of course, you can buy all sorts of things tied in with Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, the animated character. And so even the Fred Rogers Company has evolved in that way, and it's as have Sesame Street, you know, so there's no way not to buy into it. I believe, and I would really hope, that there are less cynical reasons for doing stuff about Fred Rogers than there are about doing some of the Hollywood stuff that's out there.
And interesting to reflect on that Fred Rogers was around well before spinoffs and social media and merchandising that we just see filling up our toy boxes today.
Oh, well, but no, that's actually, that's one place I'll push back. Mm. He didn't predate merchandising, because you go back to the 40s with TV, with Howdy Doody and things like that. The 40s television children hosts were mostly about merchandising and making money and doing things. Fred Rogers actually showed up and fought against that. It was already the climate.
You're with us for this conversation on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood and what to make of Fred Rogers in the scope of our world today. David Bianculli stays with us. You hear him on Fresh Air as a guest host and TV critic. He's been writing about Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, getting its start on TV in the late 1960s. You can join in with your remembrances, 800-642-1234. What do you remember most about Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood and how it made you feel? What lessons did you learn? Call in, tweet us at WPR Mornings. Now let's check out another neighborhood here at Wisconsin Public Radio. It is the winter membership drive that is in full swing. My colleagues here in the studio. How's your neighborhood going, Bill?
It's going great, Kate. Thanks for asking. Appreciate that. Bill Martin's here with John Gatto, and it's our goal to keep bringing you topics like Mr. Rogers. This week is the 50th anniversary of the premiere of that great public television show, and it's your support that makes this all happen, because listener support is actually the single largest piece of the budget. So give now. Any amount makes a difference. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR is listener-supported radio. These are listener-supported conversations. That means that when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. And I just have to add that my memory of Mr. Rogers, as long as we're in our neighborhood together,
absolutely,
is really the music. And one of the little-known facts is that Fred Rogers wrote most of the music that we're all familiar with when we think about Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Yeah.
So it's inspiring in many ways. And I think that the music, the conversations, it's all part of why you listen and engage in these conversations. So do what you can to help support it. Choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes and make your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this is a tremendous hour to make that pledge, because we've got a dollar-for-dollar match up to $5,500 in effect right now, and we are just a little past $3,200, so still plenty of room for you to get involved. It's a great time to pledge, because 9XM Leadership Circle members, including Ken Sturmiska and Sabina Singh of Green Bay, will double every dollar you give. That's their way of inspiring you to support WPR. So double the impact of your pledge right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you may give some thought this winter membership drive to joining the 9XM Leadership Circle with your gift of $100 or $200 a month for the programming like this that's essential to your life.
You'll make a difference in your own life life and enhance the quality of life for so many others throughout Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Make that leadership gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My name's Kelly Davis, and I live in Whitewater. I like Wisconsin Public Radio because it has this focus on all things Wisconsin, which is very helpful for learning the culture of the state. And then also, once you're here, it helps you feel connected to the community. I became a sustaining member of WPR because it was easy and I didn't have to think about it. And I knew every month I didn't have to make a conscious choice to do what is right. It just happens. Like, if I am listening to Wisconsin Public Radio this much, I should be giving back to it.
To make a difference in your community and beyond, visit WPR.org.
WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is how you make your pledge. I'm Bill Martins with John Gatto, and we are asking for your support during this winter membership drive because it's what makes the WPR programs like The Morning Show that you rely on possible. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
If you've already renewed or make ongoing monthly gifts as a sustainer, thank you. Listeners who renew and monthly sustainers, you're truly the backbone of those who support Wisconsin Public Radio.
Yep, and if you haven't given yet, join thousands of other WPR members by donating at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've got just over $2,000 or so left on this dollar-for-dollar match that takes us up until 9 o'clock. There's plenty of time to get in on that, but you do need to make the pledge to do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your support of WPR will go twice as far with your pledge right now.
As an added bonus for supporting the programs you love, your pledge of any amount gets you entered in a drawing for a $500 grocery gift card. Who couldn't use that, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
In fact, you'll have five chances to win. That's good beer money. Pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And sustainers, you're automatically entered.
What would Mr. Rogers say about that? Okay. You know, you can also support the programs that you value, and you can take that great new WPR t-shirt when you give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up convenient, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. Just go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm excited to get back into the conversation, so we will momentarily. Remember, your gift is powerful. It really does make a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much.
It's such a good feeling to know you're alive. It's such a happy feeling. You're growing inside, and when you wake up, ready to say.
Fred Rogers held a deep respect for children, and it showed in his work. Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, the iconic TV show, debuted 50 years ago this week. It ran for 33 years on public television. And from what I understand, it still is being shown in reruns. We can run that by David Van Cooley. He's a guest host and TV critic on NPR's Fresh Air. He's been writing about Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood this week. He's also a professor of TV and film at Rowan University in New Jersey. You can join in with your remembrances as well, 800-642-1234. How did Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood affect your life as a kid? And what about today? Do you pass it on with Daniel Tiger? Join in, 800-642-1234. David, is it still in reruns today? What's its status?
Well, the status is most immediately next week on PBS Kids. They're doing a one-hour block where they're taking episodes of Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, which is the currently running program from the Fred Rogers Company, with one of the characters from Fred Rogers' original Neighborhood, except now animated and the star of the show. And they're taking theme episodes from that and pairing them with similarly themed old classic episodes of
Wow.
Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood that inspired them. Because in writing Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, they went back to the original shows and the original themes that Fred Rogers wanted to explore and did them for a new generation. So next week, for an hour, you'll get paired the sort of the old and the new and be able to just to watch them, and I would heartily recommend record them so that you have both of those to show to your kids. But past that, it's not part of the regular PBS cycle anymore. Some local stations show it. But if you have a subscription to Amazon Prime, for example, you can get the first seven seasons that are up there. And if you have DVD players and want to spend a little money and add to your library, you can get various theme collections on DVD.
Let's go to Maddie, who joins us from Shorewood. Hi, Maddie.
Yes, good morning. I just wanted to call in with just an amazing memory of Mr. Rogers. When I was about four or five, this was the mid-70s, and Mr. Rogers and the whole crew were doing some sort of event in Milwaukee, and we were there. I was there with my mom and my brother, and I was, you know, jumping out of my seat, basically raising my hand. And he said, "Hi, what's your name?" And I said, "Madeline." And I said, "I have your book, Mr. Rogers." And he said, "That's wonderful. Why don't you bring it up and let's read it?" And I, thinking about it now, I'm like, I probably preempted their whole, you know, show. But just the fact that he took the time to bring me up and read this book, this pop-up Mr. Rogers book that I brought along with me, was just a really special memory.
Maddie, thank you for the memory. David, Mr. Rogers also wrote books, quite a few of them.
Yeah, books he believed in. You know, maybe little plush versions of himself he was against. but anything that would promote reading, he was very, and he loved music, you know, so he was very forceful about trying to get people interested in different types of music and playing music themselves and listening to it. So reading, writing, listening, and playing.
And music was his background, though. Music was his college. Is that right?
Yeah, well, he went on and became a Presbyterian minister. So he was one of the few people in children's television who was very focused on children as well as on message, on the idea. You know, he went to television not because he loved it so much, but because he was so impressed by its potential and so concerned about its output at the time.
Let's go to Dale now in Waukesha. Hi, Dale.
I wanted to tell a story. I was teaching in Muskego, Wisconsin, a few years ago, and I'm teaching language arts, and I'm teaching a letter-writing unit. And I have my students, I tell them to write to somebody they admire and to ask them to write back and to tell them what the most important lesson they ever learned was. And so, of course, the kids chose celebrities and, you know, athletes and, you know. But I had one girl in my class that chose Fred Rogers. So the children were, you know, they were eighth graders. They're waiting for the letters to come back. And it was amazing how many did not. They didn't get a response, or perhaps they got a big glossy picture. But after, you know, maybe two or three weeks, this young lady got a handwritten letter from Fred Rogers.
Wow.
And in this letter it said, "The most important advice I ever got is that you are special, you are unique, you always have to be true to yourself." And this was an amazing thing, because this child was a twin, and she was the twin that was always in the background. I'm getting emotional. But she was, it was amazing, because he wrote this letter, and, you know, he signed it, and about maybe a month or 6 weeks later, he died.
Oh,
and
wow.
I thought, this man was dying.
Oh, Dale, thank you so much for that memory.
That's a lovely story. The stories that your listeners are calling in with are amazing.
Yeah.
And it is beautiful. It is beautiful. That was his central message. And just the sheer luck of it going to someone who needed to hear that message at that time, and how much effort it must have taken Fred to be able to send it. And it's just lovely. It just shows you You know, the question that I get most, you know, from people when they find out that, you know, I'd interviewed him a few times, and, you know, is like, is he really like that on camera? What's he really like? And you can tell from just that story that we just heard that Fred Rogers on camera and Fred Rogers off were the same person.
What do you remember most from your interviews?
Just the same idea about how present he was, you know, and how he was paying attention to that. But the things that I remember most is, like, the first caller that talked about his attentiveness to children. I was following him around when he was here in Philadelphia, where I'm calling from, in 85. And he got a call during our interview from Ted Koppel, who was at that
Nightline.
Time was the host of Nightline, and a really big show, really big deal at the time, and there was some issue where he wanted Fred Rogers to come on that night on the show to talk about children and violence or something. And Fred Rogers didn't think about it at all. He just said, no, thank you. I'm here to visit an elementary school tomorrow morning, and I owe it to them to be as refreshed as possible to give them my full attention.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, are you kidding me? You know, and I said, but you could reach like 6 or 7 million parents of children that your message, whatever it is, might. He goes, there are going to be 35 children in that classroom who are expecting me to be there for them. That's more important.
Did that detail weave into your story?
Yes. Oh, yeah. It depends on whether you're asking the story that I wrote for the newspaper that I was working at the time, the Philadelphia Inquirer. Yes, it did. The detail of my life, what it has meant is that one of the things that I have done for years is I actually am a member of the advisory council of the Fred Rogers Center. And I don't do many things like that. As a matter of fact, I use my TV critic title as a way to say I can't because it's an apparent or implied impropriety conflict of interest. But all I'm doing as a member of the council is just trying to support the same things that Fred did on his program in his lifetime in terms of children's education and children's programming. And so how can I not do that? And one of the reasons I do is because of Fred's example.
Well, David, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, sure. It was a pleasure. And I really am charmed by your callers. So good for them. Good for you.
They are awesome. David Van Cooley is a guest host and TV critic on NPR's Fresh Air with Terry Gross. It airs weeknights at 7 on the Ideas Network. He's also a professor of TV and film at Rowan University in New Jersey, founder and editor of TVWorthWatching.com. This hour of the morning show was produced by Bill Martins and Nyasia Ellison. And Michelle Johnson is executive producer. Now let's bring it in to our winter membership drive with our friends here in the studio.
Well, and we are nearing the end of this hour. We're nearing the end of a very special dollar-for-dollar match. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio winter membership drive. I'm John Gatto with Bill Martin sitting here. We're together here to ask you to invest a few minutes of your time right now to support your future WPR listening.
And if you have already renewed or, you know, make ongoing monthly gifts as a sustainer, thank you very much. Listeners who renew and monthly sustainers are the backbone of WPR. If you haven't given yet, join the thousands of other WPR members by donating at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Listener support makes up the single largest source of funding for the programs that you count on, including this one. And that's why your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
You know, one of the things I learned in producing this hour about Fred Rogers, and our guest had talked about it, and a caller had talked about how his demeanor off air was the same as it was on air. And I watched a couple of videos on YouTube last night of some of his appearances on late night shows like David Letterman and Joan Rivers and Charlie Rose. And the audience was laughing because, you know, here's Mr. Rogers talking about non-Mr. Rogers stuff like Mr. Rogers. And you know, Charlie Rose asked him about that, and Mr. Rogers had a great response. He said that, you know, that's who I am. Likewise, you're the only you. You're special. There's never been another you before you. There's never going to be another you after you. So be the best you can be. And he says, kids can spot a phony from a mile away. And so, you know, I learned so much more about Mr. Rogers and producing this show. And I learned so much on Wisconsin Public Radio. And I know those of you listening learned likewise, and hopefully you learned something from this hour and enjoyed the conversation. And if that's something that you do each and every morning, then make a pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and it'll go twice as far because we still have room for that dollar-for-dollar match.
Indeed. You will be the special you that you are right now by making a pledge and helping us take advantage of what's left of this dollar-for-dollar match that's in effect from 9XM Leadership Circle members, including Ken Tremiska and Sabina Singh of Green Bay. Your 50 turns into 100. Your 20 turns into 40, so on and so forth. We have just under about $300 left on this particular challenge. And so take full advantage of it right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's WPR.org, 888-202-2552. We're getting so close to reaching that goal. It'd be a great thing to do. And it could be you who puts us over the top. Again, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.
Thank you.